We're looking at this very practical book in the Bible, Proverbs, written by the wisest person, some say ever, on the planet Earth, King Solomon. When I look at King Solomon, and I see he had 300 concubines, was he the wisest person ever on Earth? I'm not sure, but we won't go there this morning. I think having one wife is sometimes, you know, enough for me, and we won't go there. Anyway, this topic of doing good and what that means today, we're going to unpack that a bit this morning. I'm not sure if Kylie gave me, you know, this topic, do good, because I do good all the time, and she thought I'd be a great person to talk about this topic, or the fact that she wants me to do good. I'm not sure, but here I am. Actually, last night I did good because I was on a table. We did the trivia night last night. Hands up if you're there for the trivia night. Excellent. It was a great night. Thanks, Jane, Haley, Zoe, for those for organised trivia night. But I did very good because I let Trivia Newton John win. I was doing good. Look, we could have won our table, but I decided, you know, to do good was to bless another table. Hands up if you're in trivia, Trivia Newton John. Hands up if you won. Well done. Who was the smartest? Was it Troy or Sophie or Daniel? No. Excellent. No, it was a good night. And thanks for coming along and being a part of that. So doing good. I was a youth leader for many, many years ago at our church in Melbourne. And I was very big on this scripture, don't be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. It's a scripture from James, another practical book in the Bible. Don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. So we used to do lots of practical things with our youth group. And we used to call them random acts of kindness. It was a thing going around many years ago, random acts of kindness. And I still remember doing a few activities with the youth group. One, this is before, you know, a lot of our more diligent processes that we do now with our youth groups. But we decided to give all the youth group $5 each. And we were in a shopping centre. We used to do a youth activity in a shopping centre quite often in Melbourne. And we basically sent all the youth groupers around the shopping centre with $5. Come back in half an hour and tell us your story about what it means to do good. And, you know, of course, the youth are very creative. They paid for people's shopping. They bought lollies and gave them out, all sorts of things. And they came back. And the fact is, when they came back, they had all their stories. But one thing I noticed is that everyone felt good. You feel good when you do good. It's that simple. And this scripture says that, doesn't it? It says, your own soul is nourished when you are kind. It is destroyed when you are cruel. Your own soul is nourished when you are kind. It is destroyed when you are cruel. And this sort of random acts of kindness, we always used to try and outdo each other and come back and tell our stories the next week at Bible study or at youth group. And so we used to do things like paying for the person's McDonald's behind you. Have you ever done that? It's quite fun, you know, just to actually, you pay for it and then you stop in the car park and you watch them coming out the other side and they're like, what's going on there? You know, celebrating and so on. You know, there's a few ideas for you. I recommend you try a couple of these things. Someone else in that church actually paid for someone else's groceries at the checkout. You know, just wanted to bless someone. They wanted to do good. And does God want us to do good? Absolutely. But there's no doubt it makes us feel good. I deal a lot with people that volunteer through Salvation Army, public relations and so on, and different centres. And a lot of them talk about when they volunteer for the salvos, it makes them feel good. They said, regardless of if I'm helping someone or if I'm helping the salvos, I feel good when I do good. And in some ways, it's that simple. I try and still do a few little things. Just recently, I was on a plane. I was heading to Melbourne and I was on the plane sitting. I like to, you know, I'm a bit particular where I sit in the plane, but I always like to sit on the aisle, you know, somewhere around 6, 7, 8, not too far back, not too far forward. So I get this seat, 6C is sort of my favourite seat. You can judge me. But I sit at 6C and, you know, when everyone's getting a bit toey because the plane's late to leave and they're starting to call out a name and they've worked out some person hasn't got their life in order, they're not on time. We're all going to be late because of one person. You're sitting there and it all gets a bit awkward. And then this lady comes down. She has a young child. She looked pretty sort of frazzled and everyone's giving her bad looks and it's her, it's that lady. That's why we're all going to be late. And she comes down the aisle and then she's got her bag behind her and she's got nowhere to put, and everyone's sort of, it's just that awkward tension. So I stand up, go grab a little case and I find a place to put it, up in the, you know how when you're the last one, there's never any room and you have to open about five of them and finally you find a little spot and you put it in. And I sat down. You know, I had 100 people watching me, but I felt good. I didn't even have my uniform on that day. I just felt good. And it's interesting though, isn't it, watching society. I'm a people watcher. I love just going to random places, shopping centres, anywhere, and just watching how people interact, how they treat each other, who lets people in the queues, or how they help people. I find that really fascinating. How many people are doing good? All different cultures, all different ages, it doesn't matter. There's so much good in the world, I really believe that. Just the other week, just one more story about doing good. I was doing good for my wife because I dropped into Costco. Now, when you say dropped into Costco, I didn't realise dropped in and Costco doesn't quite work. It's more of a half-day experience. So I dropped in there to buy some food for some function here. For bands in the round, she said. So I drop into Costco, buy some food for bands in the round, and there I am. I didn't realise I had to get a trolley because I had to get multiple lots of sandwiches and different slices, etc. But of course, I couldn't carry them all, so I had to go to the trolley bay. I go to the trolley bay, and you need a $2 or $1 coin. I never carry cash or coins on me. So there I am, and I'm thinking, oh no, I've just parked like a kilometre away. I need a coin. I'm in a rush. I've got to get in the... And this lovely couple, I think like a Muslim couple, just came up to me and gave me a $2 coin. I just smiled at him. He couldn't even hardly speak English. I said, thanks, brother. I really appreciate that. And I thought, how good's that? Here I am, just a random Salvo guy trying to work out how to get a trolley out of a trolley bay. And this guy gives me a $2 coin so I can get my goodies and go home. But the world is a good place and there's lots of good in it. And I'm sure you'll have all your own stories. Well, those at the trivia night last night will know a bit about a lady called Evangeline Booth. Crickets. Evangeline Booth. She said, there is no reward equal to that of doing the most good to the most people in the most need. We learnt last night there was two of General William Booth's children that became generals, and Evangeline was one of them. She was also the first female general. There is no reward equal to that of doing the most good to the most people in the most need. And this quote becomes the basis of the American Salvation Army. Now, a lot of people don't like this logo. Hopefully none of my American friends are watching this morning. But this logo is everywhere across America. If you've been to America, on their vans, on their posters, everything, it says their PR slogan, doing the most good. It comes from Evangeline Booth, who actually helped start the Salvation Army in America. Doing the most good. What do we think of that? The Salvation Army doing the most good. We can interpret it different ways, but when you put it in context to what Evangeline said, let's do the most good to the most people as much as we can. Let's help people. Let's be a blessing. Let's do good in society. It's a very practical way to live out God's mission in a broken world. But this essence of doing good, Paul says in Ephesians 2:10, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. We We are molded, we are created by a good God. We are created in the image of God. God is good. And therefore, we should naturally do good works. We should carry that goodness of God and pass it on to others. And Jesus, of course, was the embodiment of God. In essence, Jesus is God living out this good works on the earth, and he is obviously the greatest example we have. Jesus says in Luke 14, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives, or even your rich neighbours. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you'll be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." Jesus always challenged every time he spoke about helping others, being there for others, loving others, this doing good. And it's interesting, if you read the 80 or so stories of Jesus, when he's asked questions, when he's asked to respond in situations, he never talks about believing the right things or singing more songs or going to church. Every time it's about action. It's about the right actions. Jesus wants us to act the right way, to do the right thing, to love the right person, to include someone else, to be the Good Samaritan, to do those things that is probably harder for us. To be honest, it's sort of easier to sit in church, to sing, to worship, to all those things. But to actually act, to do good, is a lot harder. But that's what Jesus challenges us to all the way through scriptures. He wants us to be doers of the word. So I was taught many years ago to have friends who are poor. And I was at a conference many, many years ago, and I was taught this concept of to have friends that are poor. Try and have friends that are poorer than yourself. And I didn't quite get it at the time, and I sort of experimented a bit with this, and we had a lot of people coming through our centre. I met quite a few of them, helped them with quite a few of their journeys, mental health journeys, alcohol addictions, addictions to all sorts of things. And I started to befriend them, which meant just they weren't just a client. We got involved with their lives out of ours. We even had some of them over for dinner, et cetera, et cetera. And that's a whole nother space. But it does impact your life. I'm still friends with a few of them, you know, 20-something years later. But what does it mean to have friends poorer than yourself? I mean, we're naturally taught in society to always climb the ladder, always associate with people that are richer than you, to sort of become more like them and move up in society and just be a better person. But really, Jesus, the words of Jesus says, let's befriend those that have no friends. Let's help those that are doing life tough. Try and befriend those people. And that's a real challenge for me about doing good still to this day. Another William Booth quote for you. He says, the co-founder of the Salvation Army, "Faith and works should travel side by side, step answering to step, like the legs of men walking. First faith, and then works, and then faith again, and then works again, until they can scarcely distinguish which is the one and which is the other." Obviously, the Salvation Army is known for their incredible works, for doing good in society, still to this day. That's why most of my job is going around telling stories of the Salvation Army doing good, being good. And the reason so many people give the Salvation Army incredible amounts of money is because they believe we do something good for society, that we help people, that we help the homeless, that we help those in drug addictions, those that are doing life tough. They give the money to us and we will do good. When I talk at schools and they ask me what I do, I said, I'm basically like Robin Hood. And they said, I take from the rich to give to the poor. That's sort of my job. But it's true. There's a lot of blessed people in this world, and they have wealth, and they want to give it to someone. They give it to the Salvation Army because they believe we're going to do good. Everyone wants the world to be a better place. And I have so many stories about that. But I am into the history of the Salvation Army. I was even at the museum in Melbourne, 614, this week on Thursday, just checking out the Historical Society again. I love all the old stories of the Salvation Army and the heritage that we have. But one of my favourite stories of doing good is William Booth as a 70-year-old man coming home one night, and he walks under a bridge in London. Some of you would have heard this story. And he sees all the homeless guys sleeping there under the bridges. And he gets home and he says to his son, Bramwell, do you know what I saw last night? I'm not going to try and do the whole William Booth voice thing. But he says, Bramwell, do you know what I saw last night? I saw people sleeping under the bridges. And Bramwell's like, what do you want me to do about it? And he says, do something. Do something, Bramwell. Do something. He goes, I've got no money. I've got this. I haven't got this. I haven't got that. And William says to him, do something. Just work it out. You know, buy a warehouse. Keep it warm. Help the people that have nowhere to sleep. But do something. And this was the whole essence of the Salvation Army, isn't it? The theology with its sleeves rolled up, people say, is the Salvation Army. We're about doing something. We're practical Christianity. It's about doing good. That story starts the homeless shelters that we still have today, that we still run here in Sydney, basically comes out of that story of William Booth seeing something. And he couldn't just go to bed that night and forget about it. He had to enact, he had to do something about that. And at his age, he passed it on to his son, and something came out of that. Something good came out of that. And so many, literally millions of people have been helped because of his action to a need. Well, I try not to just talk about Salvation Army history. Let me tell you an up-to-date story just of something that's going to be launched next week in Melbourne. There should be a picture up here on the screen. The Pink Car. I don't know if any of you heard about this. A fabulous initiative. So I was, again, at 614 this week in Melbourne, Brendan Noddle. And if you can't read the writing, let me just read it to you. It says, what is the Pink Car? The Pink Car is an initiative of the Salvation Army Melbourne Project 614 and the Collingwood Football Club. It's a really good project, except for the Collingwood Football Club bit, but anyway. The Pink Car will be driven by a female worker who will be supported by a female volunteer. The focus of the Pink Car will be on women's safety in the city and inner city. Especially on Friday and Saturday nights, the Pink Car will be an extension of the Youth Street Teams program that operates in partnership with the City of Melbourne and the City of Stonington. A fabulous initiative, isn't it? About doing good. There's so much problem at the moment, especially with nightclubs and so on, late at night, and all sorts of things happening to women that we wish didn't happen. And this is a response, isn't it? It's about doing good as a movement, as a Salvation Army, but volunteers, corporates, everyone getting together and doing something in their society to help others. There's a quote by Karl Barth that I've carried for some time. In some ways it's a little bit old now, but still has so much relevance in essence. It says, we have to read the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other. Says Karl Barth. Karl Barth, a theologian. And this is something that really relates to me, because if we just read the Bible all the time and we don't sort of use that inspiration, that theology, that inspiration to bless others or help in the real world, we sometimes become too spiritual, I think. And on the other hand, if we just read the newspaper and we don't have a God's view into our lives, we also perhaps maybe get too worldly in a way. We have to read the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other. And our faith should not cause us to escape this world, but rather to engage it. Well, I still to this day like to read the paper copy of the newspaper. I know it sounds strange, but I dabble in it every morning over breakfast. And I like it to inform my thinking. I like to know what's going on in the world. I like to know the good stories and the bad stories about what's happening. What's happening in society? How are people thinking? What are the major problems? I think as a believer in Christ, as a salvationist, we should be concerned about those things. And I read different stories, and one that continues to disturb me, it was just up again in the last week or so, was the Pokies. And I'm not sure if you read this, it's going to go on the screen here. Pokies swallow $135 billion in New South Wales. It says Sydney's two lowest income council areas each racked up more than $500 million in losses to poker machines last year, according to research. The analysis by the charity also reveals cumulative losses by people who use poker machines in New South Wales over the past 30 years hit $135 billion. And in Victoria, $66 billion. So Sydney, New South Wales, you outdid Victoria in something. Well done. But it's perhaps not what we want to be known for, is it, in New South Wales, about having the biggest amount of pokey losses. And the people that, of course, use those pokies, we know so many stories, don't we, of what they go through and the pain on their families, et cetera, et cetera. But how do we do good? When I look at this scripture and Jesus wants us to respond, what does it look like in these situations? When we open the newspaper and we read that, we have the Bible on the other hand, how do we react to those situations and what can we do? Well, I don't have all the answers for you this morning, but my first prayer for you each is that you continue to go into a world, notice the good you see, ask God to help you be the good you can be in your communities, in your streets, in your shopping centres, wherever you go. And it can be really small by helping someone load their shopping to a car, could be paying for someone's groceries, I don't know what it means for you. But there's these bigger issues too that I think we need to, in a way, dabble with, but get involved with, help with. And again, with our brand as the Salvation Army, we have so much respect, so many opportunities to speak into some of these spaces, but we need to be brave, we need to be courageous, we need to be strategic, but we can make a difference. Edmund Burke says, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men or good people like us to do nothing. And sadly, if I'm talk about the church in the last 20 or 30 years in Australia, I think we haven't done a lot really, you know. It's great we have some amazing worship centres and some incredible music from all sorts of denominations, but less and less I think the church is getting involved with the real issues in society, and I don't know if we're really changing the world like God would want us to do. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good people to do nothing. While we do nothing, the world will go a certain direction and end up in a certain space. But I believe we are to do good. Let me finish with a scripture from 1 John chapter 3, 17. We all know John 3, 16, but if you really want to be challenged, read 1 John 3, 17. You won't sleep too well, but it'll be good for you. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Friends, we're asked to be people of action, people with a faith, that live that faith in the world. And my prayer for you each this morning is you let God inform you what you should be doing, but don't do nothing. Do something. And bless this world that we live in.